on track. The only thing matters is a win. That's it. However, whatever, whatever it takes. Let's go, man. Let's win on three. One, two, three. Win.
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
319. 319.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
Vikings blitz. Manning got it off the rare deep throw, and maybe that's why they don't do it. Intercepted by Xavier Rhodes.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
They're not used to this damn heat. They're over there trying to set up damn pits over there on the sideline. Hey, it's a ride.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
Dave, I ain't going to worry about you no more. 300 yards, four touchdowns.
It's so sweet when you walk off that field knowing you gave everything you got. Team win tonight.
The doctor is now in.
And welcome in to T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Frank Harnish sitting in today. T.C. will be back tomorrow. He'll actually be back tonight because we've got a little basketball game to call over at T-Mobile. That's right. The Aces will be playing that second half of basketball due to the earthquake game this evening at T-Mobile Arena. And, of course, you can catch the broadcast with T.C. Martin doing the play-by-play action on that. Got to check out the tennis this weekend. I'm going to talk about that a little bit and got a quick interview with Billie Jean King, which we will play in the second hour. Of course, she is a legendary figure in the world of tennis and in the world of sports overall. But to open up the show, I reached out to somebody, taking a flyer, hoping that I could get this lovely young lady on. I've known her for years and years. She's one of the most prolific analysts of MMA, amongst other sports that I've ever known. I consider her a good friend, and it's a privilege to be talking with Ms. Heidi Fang. Heidi, how you doing?
Well, the privilege is all mine, Frank. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, I like I say, I reached out because I know you're extremely busy with the Raiders and other things, but I know you're nobody knows more about the MMA than you, and I love talking to you about it, and I want to get into that. But before we get into all that stuff, how's the family doing? It looks like you had a little R&R, a little vacation time, taking the son to the beach for the first time.
Yeah, we tried to take him to the beach, but he totally fell asleep. Like, on the way there, we tried to wake him up. You know, it was like that scene in the movie, What About Bob? When they're like, cock-a-doodle-doo! Trying to get him up. And he was just out for the count. So we did attempt to get him to the Atlantic Ocean, went out to Florida, but the kid just wouldn't wake up. So he missed out on the beach, and water's like his very favorite thing. So I'm a little bummed, but we'll get him back there eventually. And he'll probably have a bit more of a memory about it because he's 15 months old. But everyone is so great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, but now you also have a little secret, because next time he has a hard time sleeping or something, just put on some Sounds of the Ocean or something like that, and he'll probably fall right to sleep. So it could turn out advantageous for you. All right, hey, before we get to the MMA, I know you were at the Raider Stadium today because they had a little ceremony over there.
Yeah, they did. They had the topping ceremony, meaning the very last truss, which holds together 26 beams, which are in place for the roof to come into the stadium, is now set. So they had the last beam out there, and all the dignitaries and local like personalities came out. They signed it. We had Mark Davis there. Mark Bedane was there. Tommy White was there. He was part of this whole, you know, situation where everybody was coming together and bringing the construction out to Vegas. And so every single construction worker was out there as well, every single last one, as far as I know. And there must have been at least 2,000 strong for their representation. It was really good to see all these people that are building something, that have jobs, that are doing something for this city, and helping to bring the Raiders here with what they're doing, because we wouldn't have a stadium if there wasn't construction. So yeah, it was really great to see everybody out there.
All right. Well, I know that I'm sure you're probably looking forward to the Raiders being here in town, so you won't have to do so much traveling, but you'll also be covering the Raiders again in their final season before they become officially the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the road for every game that they have on the away side, and I will be part of the podcast team here for what we call Vegas Nation. And there's an app for it. You can download the Vegas Nation app if you want to hear the podcast. We do one every week now after Hard Knocks, so that's going to be a ton of fun. And it's really starting to come together here. I mean, we have a great crew covering this. Everybody that's out there, from Ed Graney to Michael Gelkin to Adam Hill, these people are just pros at what they do. And I'm just lucky to have this opportunity to be able to cover historic event of a team coming to Las Vegas, NFL team. And I sometimes step back and I look at what's happening, and this is really a lot to take in at once. But it's when you think about the fact that this city is going to have an NFL team, you just think about when you walk down that strip, the different nature that might happen on a Saturday when you're there. I mean, maybe you already see the gamblers, you already see the betting. We know what happens in the casino, but I walk in, I laid a parlay or two in my life, so I go in and see, and on Sunday, what the action's like, and they're packed. People, wall to wall, and you have everybody out there just praying and staring at a big screen, and the action and the intensity will, at least, I think, triple by the time the Raiders come to town.
Yeah, well, certainly a lot of excitement with the NFL coming here. Of course, the Golden Knights kicked off the professional Major League franchises. The Aviators /51/Stars were certainly before that. So Vegas went from being an event town to a Major League city, and excited about that, excited about the Golden Knights season starting up here September 15th as well. They'll be the first preseason game for the NHL this year. But like I said, before it was a Major League professional city, it was an event city, and one of those events, in fact, several of those events were UFC events, and I do want to talk a little MMA with you. The last UFC card, now I know that you were on vacation in that, but Colby Covington, absolutely dominated ruthless Robbie Lawler. He said he was going to do that. He did it. He won on every judge's scorecard. He won every round. But a lot of people are talking about when you see Colby Covington, sometimes you want to know what he says even more than what he does in the cage. And at the end of his fight, he had this to say that some people are taking offense to.
Hey, let's talk about the lesson we learned tonight. It's a strong lesson that Robbie should have learned from his good buddy, Matt Hughes. You stay off the tracks when the train's coming through, Junior. Don't matter if it's a Trump train or the Colby train. Get out the way!
Now, of course, that is him talking about the train tracks and the Trump train and the Colby train, and Donald Trump's sons were in attendance there. We know that he's a big Trump supporter. I don't want to get all political on this stuff, but there's a lot of people taking offense at him mentioning Matt Hughes and the train tracks after the tragedy that he suffered on the train tracks. Is Colby Covington, is he something good for MMA? Because it's almost sometimes when you watch this guy fight, he's amazing, his skill level, but sometimes I almost feel like I'm watching a WWE event.
Yes, I think for a lot of people, a big cringe factor when it comes to Colby Covington. He wears the red MAGA hats. He goes out there and he says something as awful. I mean, I hadn't heard the full clip. That was the first time I had heard it. And I had heard the reference people were making on Twitter about what he had said about Matt Hughes. Now, Matt Hughes was a pioneer of this sport, whether you love him or hate him either. You know, Matt Hughes is one of those people who drew a lot of attention to himself for big game hunting and some other things that I think, you know, the MMA community frowned upon. But when it came down to it, he was somebody that pioneered and helped this sport come up to the level where it is now. And when you hear something like that, Matt Hughes hung on to his life by a thread when that happened. People didn't know if he was going to walk again. They didn't know if he would come back completely with everything lucid and his brain intact, or he would be a vegetable. It was one of those situations that was very grave. So for Colby to take that and to make a joke or even a reference to springboard it into something else for himself, the Colby train, that is, to me, just putting down something, somebody who is really great to the sport. And I, for what it's worth, I've watched what he does and seen how he talks, and I feel a lot of it he tries a little bit too hard. I don't think that that's the core of who he is in some ways. In some ways, I do think it's for show. And if you're going to write your own material on the fly, you know, you should at least have some tact about it. But that's the thing that some people love about it, is that circus aspect. And for me, it's just, I'm not, if you look at what he's representing and how he represents it, I'm not a huge fan. If you're a Trump person, you're not a Trump person, fine. Be who you are. But when you're springboarding the name into something else based on someone else's tragedy, just to say you're the Colby train, there's other ways to do it.
No, I completely agree with you. And we've certainly seen bad boys before and people trying to toot their own horn. Chael Sonnen talked himself into some championship fights that some people thought maybe he didn't necessarily deserve, but he sold tickets, he put butts in the seats, and that's what it's about. Certainly Conor McGregor is, nobody talks more, but he also backed it up all the time, and Colby Covington up to this point has been backing it up as well. But there's pushing the envelope, and then there's going over the line, and in a lot of people's mind, he's going over the line. But the other thing that he also has done is he's put himself on the map. People know who he is. People do want to see him, whether they want to see him win or whether they want to see him lose. He is selling tickets, and that's why I pose the question, is this good for MMA and UFC or is it not? Because you can certainly make arguments that the bottom line is the bottom line making a dollar, and he is doing that right now, and he certainly got everybody now wanting to get in the cage with him.
You know, I wonder, though, if he wasn't against somebody who's a huge name like Robbie Lawler, if it would still have the same effect for him as far as the draw went. Robbie Lawler is another guy who is pioneer of this sport, somebody who's always been a name that has drawn, and he was a former champion as well. So, you know, when you compare, you know, the Conor McGregor smack talk to what Colby Covington's smack talk is, Conor has a sharp wit. I don't think he's sitting there writing jokes and the way that he presents it. He's not sitting there and going, okay. He does do his research, though. He finds out things that people don't know. He does his research on his opponent, but that doesn't mean that he's scripting what he says about them.
Right.
And he's got this effervescence about him. He's got a charisma about him. He's got a magnetism. I don't think Colby has any of those things. I think that he just has this, you know, I remember it like this. When I watched this movie about Howard Stern, Private Parts, and they said the people who love Howard listen to him for an hour. People who hated Howard listen to him for 3 hours. So sometimes it's because you're waiting to see what he has to say because you just can't stand him, and you're waiting to see the train wreck. You're waiting to see him fail, that people will sit there and watch him longer. So that could be, on the flip side, what happened.
No, I agree with you. And there's also something to be said, too. I remember Muhammad Ali years ago, although he's certainly a storied figure and a legend, and it seems like everybody loves him now, but I'm old enough to remember when he was fighting and, you know, the line about him of half the people came to see him win and half the people came to see him lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, he definitely had that. When people say, are you confident or are you cocky? He pushed the envelope there, too. And you know, because of the whole draft situation with him, I'm sure that was, you know, for some people, something that they didn't love necessarily about Ali either. So, you know, there was definitely, he's somebody, like you said, who's a legend when you go back and think about boxing. Most people bring up his name first. But yeah, when it comes to MMA, I don't think people will look back and go, legend, Colby Covington.
No, I tend to agree with you there, unless he adds an awful lot more to his resume. Speaking of his resume, who do you see him fighting next?
Well, I think they're going to have to give him the shot with Usman. Kamaru Usman was somebody who was on the desk the night that Colby won. They had an engagement there, smack talk, albeit not great smack talk, but the best thing was Kamaru Usman went back because Colby, in his post-fight speech, did do a little bit of a stutter as far as when he wanted to have the next fight. And he brought up the scene from My Cousin Vinny with the prosecutor defender who couldn't pronounce his words and kept saying, the.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So he made a little clip, you know, just to kind of provoke Colby. And so that was kind of fun to see on social media, though. Yeah, we'll have to see how that pans out, but I can't imagine that they make any other fight right now.
Yeah, no, I actually watched that press conference, too, with Colby and him, and Colby was basically just saying the whole time, well, you were in a wheelchair, then you jumped over the cage at me, so you're faking injuries all the time. But again, we'll see what happens. I know most of the people I know are not big Colby fans. I do know a few that are Colby fans, so we'll see what happens. And I guess sometimes that's the bottom line, is just trying to get in there and make people want to watch you, because that's how you get the bigger paydays. Now, Heidi Fang joining us here, T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, talking a little MMA. And, of course, we would be remiss if we did not mention the fact that one of the most legendary names in women's MMA, Cyborg, apparently is no longer going to be in the UFC. What do you think about this decision, and where does she go?
That is an interesting question, because for Cyborg, I only, from here, once she hit the UFC and got there, that's all I wanted to see her against, was UFC competition. The problem is, the 145 division, the women's featherweight division that she fights in, does not have depth. So the competitors that she's already faced were either women who came up from the bantamweight division or were people who she's faced already, and, you know, she went the rounds with them and, you know, won some fights, but it's, like, not interesting enough to make a rematch with her against any one of those people, except for Amanda Nunes, who is the women's 135 champion. As you know, Nunes came up, she fought featherweight, she won the belt, she had demolished Cyborg in or just a dominant fashion. I look back on that finish that she had, and it was really something incredible. I knew Amanda Nunes had power, and I knew she had fought at 145 pounds before when she was in Strikeforce way back in the day. And I remember watching her knock out Julia Budd inside of a minute with that weight class. So I knew that she was capable of it. I knew she had the power. But when I had seen Cyborg doesn't fight. She goes in for feeding. She goes in to maul somebody. She goes in to just run through them. She's a freight train. So that one took me by surprise. And to know that she's not going to be in the UFC, I can see why, just because there's not depth, but I feel like she's also butted heads a lot with, you know, the brass for some time, and we've heard these Dana White comments about her, and from even when she first came into the UFC, and she couldn't make 135 pounds. Cyborg is a woman who would literally have to cut off a limb to make 135 pounds. Like,
right.
She has such a hard time as it is making 145. So that was a lot of the source of, I think, what happened. But I don't know where she goes from here. There are other promotions out there, like ONE FC. There's, ONE Championship. They had changed their name. They're over in Asia.
Yep.
There's also, you know, Bellator. I would rather see her, I think, in ONE Championship, because Cyborg is somebody who's a worldwide name. She gets out there and will have more competition out there. I don't know which one of those two, but I think it would be one of those two promotions that she lands with.
The fact that she is getting a little bit longer in the tooth, because let's face it, she's not that young anymore. Do you see her doing something like Ronda Rousey did and maybe going over to WWE and trying to make some money while she can, because she is still a very recognizable name?
I don't think that she would. I don't know if she might try something else like boxing. She spoke about that before. She did Thai boxing as well for some time here with Lion Fight Promotion in Las Vegas. And we saw her do, you know, she actually got really tore up in Muay Thai. She had, I think, a win, and then she ended up losing when she fought for a championship against a girl who just wrecked through her. So
yeah,
was
that here in Vegas at the Hard Rock? I think. I remember that fight. Yeah.
And that was the first time I saw Cyborg look human.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if she would go back to Muay Thai. I don't think she would. I think she just did that kind of as something to challenge herself to see where her skill set was at, and then she figured that one out and went back to MMA. So, yeah, maybe boxing. She's talked a lot in the past about wanting to try out her skill set in boxing. So I don't know where she would go. I know she does a lot of outreach. She does good things for the community. She goes out. She went to Africa, I believe, and helped out with a community there with some young kids. And so I think that, you know, she's into outreach. She's into those kind of things. But as far as professionally where she stays next, I'm not exactly sure what her next move will be, and I think that's something she's going to have to sit down and look at, because like you said, she is, you know, reach closing in on the big 4-0. She's up there in her 30s, so we'll have to see what's next for Cyborg.
Yeah, not only through WWE in there, not that I've heard anything about that, because I think I agree with you there. I think she takes it too serious, and that I don't know if she'd be able to pull her punches enough to go in WWE. She might seriously hurt somebody.
That would be probably something that would happen. I don't know if she has that filter.
Yeah, and ONE Championship does kind of make sense, because it's going over to Asia, and it's almost like a whole different continent, and that maybe expose her name to even more people, but we will see what happens. Another fight that is on the horizon that we're going to see what happens, Daniel Cormier taking on Stipe Miocic in the rematch there. What do you make of this fight, and will Daniel Cormier ever get the respect that some people think he's due? Or will he always have that on his checklist that, well, he can't beat John Jones, so some people are never going to call him one of the greatest ever or the greatest ever?
I don't think he'll ever get it. I don't think, unless he does beat John Jones, I don't think that fight will happen because Cormier wants to retire unless the money's there. He said it himself, if the money's there, he'll take the fight. But against Stipe and making that fight and what I see there, it's going to be a fun one because I didn't think, that was another one where I was really surprised that Daniel was able to knock out Stipe. Stipe has been through some wars, and to see that one happen really shocked me. So this is a very precarious little situation for Cormier. I'm sure he'd want to go out at the top of his game, you know, legacy and all of that, being the champ, as he's called himself. But, you know, he's already had to relinquish the light heavyweight belt to have this heavyweight shot. So if he loses, then he has nothing. And I don't know if a guy like Cormier could retire on that. So for Miocic, this is exactly what he's been wanting. He wanted it right away, but, you know, every guy has one of those nights where somebody lands the perfect punch, and I'm not taking anything away here from Daniel Cormier, but I think that Stipe does have the skill set to beat him, and I would think that this fight goes maybe, I'm going to say 3-4 rounds. I don't think it goes the distance, but I think it'll go a little longer, and I actually see Stipe taking the win in this fight, unless Daniel Cormier can make it his fight, wrestle him down, keep him close at range, use the dirty boxing on him, have to clinch up. I think that's the way for Daniel to win this fight this time around, because I think it takes a certain kind of lightning bolt to hit the same button twice.
No, I agree with you. And I am curious to see what Stipe does in this fight that's a little bit different. And I don't want to take anything away from Cormier either, but it almost seemed to me like Stipe in that first fight looked at him as a light heavyweight coming up to his class.
Yep.
And maybe wasn't ready for him. Maybe didn't really anticipate the power and didn't defend himself as well. I think he's going to work on a whole different game plan, and I do think it's going to be different. I like Cormier. He's a good guy, and I was impressed mightily by the way that he brought his power up, but I do think it's going to be a different Stipe Miocic here, because I don't want to say he looked past him, but I don't think he maybe gave him quite as much as respect as he or maybe, you know, not quite as much respect as he should have.
Right, I 100% agree with that, and that's the big factor in it, is now he's aware of what he's facing. I think he was aware before, but I think now it's a little bit different.
Okay, so that being said, then what does happen with John Jones?
Well, here's the thing. He's got that latest little hiccup, we'll call it, I guess. Now, I don't want to make light in anything that he's done that, you know, it could be legal trouble yet again for John Jones.
He is his own worst enemy. We know that.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, always seems to be his own worst enemy, and that's the sad thing about John Jones. You look at a guy who, despite a 12-6 elbow DQ, has never lost a fight, and I think it could have been one of the best in this game. And like how we were talking earlier about Colby, you know, somebody you look back on and say, was this guy a legend of this sport? For John Jones, I think a lot of people put an asterisk next to that when they start talking about him, and even now in this conversation you have to. As far as what's next for him, if he can get past all his legal trouble, I think, you know, he's looking to fight here at the end of the year. And, you know, as far as an opponent, I think, I don't know if they wait and see what happens here with BC and Miocic. But, yeah, John Jones, I think we saw, he said that he wanted to beat Thiago Santos, his last opponent, at his own game. But I'm not sure if that was really what happened. I think we saw a John Jones that just wasn't as sharp. He was one step behind, and he said that he had injured himself in that fight. He did come into the post-fight press conference in a wheelchair, so I don't know how, you know, badly he was really injured, or if it was just to say that, you know, I went through a war, I had a 5-round fight, and I can't really walk up on my own to this podium. But yeah, I definitely saw a one step slower John Jones, and I'm curious to see in his next fight if he can get one of his kind of signature finishes that we've been used to seeing from him that are devastating, that are mind-blowing, and that keeps him as a light heavyweight champion.
Heidi, I always love talking to you about MMA, about football, about anything else. I enjoy seeing you out and about in the city, whether it's covering the Golden Knights or anything else out there. Real quick, I would like to end it on a positive note, and that is in the women's division. We mentioned Amanda Nunes a little bit earlier. I know that everybody's beatable. If you fight long enough, eventually you're going to get beat. But right now, she almost does look invincible out there. Is she the greatest women's MMA fighter of all time, even though it's kind of a small sample size in that? But she's not only beat everybody, she's dominated them. Once she got past a couple losses early on in her career, she is phenomenal in the cage.
Yeah, I don't see somebody right now in the current pool that is at the top of that division that can beat her. I do think there are some names of women who are capable of beating her. But unfortunately, right now, they've either had, you know, a loss or a win-loss situation or injury. So for Amanda right now, she's just on top of the world. And I don't think that there's anyone that can discount the fact of what she's accomplished. And I really do believe that she's the greatest woman in the sport, greater than Ronda Rousey, though Ronda Rousey had that name recognition that pulled thousands and thousands of people to her and got her all the eyes and all the attention. Amanda is somebody that's had to work very hard for that. And for whatever reason, you know, I think the UFC at first didn't really promote her. But lately, I've seen her. I went to the Super Bowl. They had her on the radio row going from station to station to station. And they had her out doing interviews. And this is during, you know, the biggest sporting event of the year. So I can't say that they didn't try to promote her when I see her during Super Bowl week on Radio Row and doing interviews with half of the national and international media. But she's just somebody, for whatever reason, hasn't pulled in the attention from the fans as much, unless I think a lot of the hardcore fans are people like you and I who work in the business. It's not a name that when you talk to somebody who occasionally watches an MMA fight that they're familiar with, and they should be. This woman is a two-division champion. She's finished people left and right, like Cyborg, who nobody thought could get finished. And I just think that for her, she's going to leave behind a great legacy. Will people know it? I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because she not only finishes people, she's literally sent a couple people into retirement. The lioness is truly the queen of the jungle, so... All right, well, Heidi, where can people find your stuff?
Well, at Heidi Fang. Also, if you just go to VegasNation.com for anything football related, you'll find everything there. And I now have a Facebook page where I keep, because as you know, I'm at Golden Knight games, I'm at MMA games, in a fights, I'm doing boxing fights, everything, I'm starting to put it together in one place there, Heidi Fang. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Always appreciate the time, and look forward to seeing out and about, whether it's at a Golden Knights game, an MMA fight, the Raiders, or just walking around town. And congratulations. Glad that you and the family are all doing well as well.
Thank you. I'm glad that you are well as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Heidi Fang there does a great job no matter what she's covering. She definitely knows what she's talking about, and she is a must-follow if you get a chance, because the lady certainly knows her stuff. All right. I was at the World Team Tennis this past weekend, saw the championships there, had a chance to talk with Billie Jean King, talk about your legendary names and figures. We'll play that for you next as we continue on the T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Of course, Lotus Broadcasting, your home for every day's baseball, UNLV football and basketball, so much stuff, including the Aces, and the Aces do have that game today. The Earthquake game, as they're calling it. They'll play the second half. They will be trailing the game 51-36 going into that second half against the Washington Mystics. But the way the Aces are playing right now, there's no reason to believe that maybe they can't make the comeback and win the game. They're certainly going to start out. I know that the Mystics have basically said, look, we need to go out there like the score is 0-0 because this team is legit and very, very talented. Well, there's also a lot of talent around town at the Orleans Arena the past week or so. World Team Tennis was in town. The Vegas Rollers did not make it to the playoffs. They just missed, losing in a tiebreak situation to the Springfield Lasers. Springfield actually went on to end up winning the World Team Tennis, the 44th season of it, winning the King Trophy, named after Billie Jean King and her husband Larry. And so I got a chance to talk with Billie Jean. We're going to play that in a moment. But I wanted to throw in as well, Evan Song, who is from Las Vegas here, resides in the city, did not play college tennis, but he considers himself a Vegas roller. After Vegas lost to the Springfield Lasers, the Lasers had an injury. They needed another man on the team. So they asked Evan Song if he was available. So he literally went from losing to Springfield for the Aces, being out of the playoffs, playing singles and doubles for them in the playoffs, and he actually held serve for the eventual winning game to give the Springfield Lasers the championship. So Evan Song from Vegas, good to see him, 27 years old, left-hander, really nice kid. I had a chance to talk to him a little bit after as well, and maybe we'll put that up on LVSportsNetwork.com. But certainly a moment that I was hoping for. Billie Jean King, iconic legendary figure in the world of tennis. Of course, everybody knows her for the Bobby Riggs match years ago, the Battle of the Sexes, as it was called. I'm not sure that everybody remembers that there was actually a Battle of the Sexes before that, but Margaret Court couldn't get the victory over Bobby Riggs, so Billie Jean King stepped in. She loved the limelight and the hoopla and everything that went around about it. I did have a chance to briefly talk with her. It amazed me how many kids and ball kids and everybody knew who she was. They all wanted pictures and autographs from her. She was very gracious with her time. But I did have a chance right after she had presented the trophy to get a couple minutes with her. And here's me after the World Team Tennis Championship with the legendary Billie Jean King.
Frank Connors here with Las Vegas Sports Network with the legendary, the iconic Billie Jean King. Billie Jean, you're here. You just presented the King Trophy to the Springfield Lasers. What has World Team Tennis meant to you?
Well, it's been 44 seasons, and I was a part of when a group of us started it back in the, we actually started it, and we had our first season in 74, but we incorporated it in 73, and it was a lot of work leading up to that. But this is my favorite format. It was always my favorite to play. It was the most tense. It was the most nervous. I got more nervous and tense and everything in this format than I ever did at Wimbledon. It's not even close. And I know people go, oh, yeah, right. No, right. And tonight was a perfect example of that with the Lasers and the New York Empire. I played for New York a couple of years, so I almost said the wrong name. But the Empire got down to the last game. That's all you can ask for.
You know, I remember, everybody remembers the match that you had with Bobby Riggs, but sure. You did so much other stuff in your career. What stands out to you as your most iconic moments?
Well, I'm more excited about what I did off the court than on the court, like helping World Team Tennis get started in 74, to be the founder of the WTA, to be part of the original nine in 1970, because without us, we wouldn't have had women's professional tennis. I've just started a leadership initiative. I am so fortunate. People have been so good to me. They've championed me. I have things named after me. I'm not finished yet, but I really want every girl, particularly, to have the dream. For instance, she cannot play professional baseball. She can't play professional hockey yet. Ice hockey, she can't. There's a lot of things. I want girls and boys and all genders to always have the dream. They can see the ultimate. And if anybody comes to a World Team Tennis match, they can have the dream, because it's men and women out there. It's all genders, and the kids are learning about equality and a level playing field and all the things you want for your child, so they're champion in life. So I'm so prejudiced with World Team Tennis, so it's hard to, a lot of people give me a bad time about it, but I don't care, I love it. And tonight was just proof again how tight it is, and everyone can contribute to the team effort.
Well, I know that you have a lot of things to do. I just want to thank you for your time.
Great to see you.
I remember the old WTA, the World Team Tennis.
Which slims did you come to?
I used to go to ones in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I saw Tracy Austin, yeah. Andrea Jaeger, yeah. Pam Shriver, all those.
Well, Larry, also, this King Trophy that they get today is Larry and my trophy. It's not just mine.
Yeah.
And Larry and I used to own that tournament in Chicago, the Virginia Slims. And we own tournaments, we've owned teams, we've owned leagues.
At the old amphitheater.
So it's good. I've been on the other side. I'm a businesswoman, too, and that's... I learned a lot.
Thank you very much, Billie Jean. It's truly a pleasure and an honor.
That was Billie Jean King after the World Team Tennis Championships. Once again, the Springfield Lasers defeated the New York Empire for the championship. The number 4 seed actually coming back and winning there. And I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to get Chris's thoughts on this as well, because one of the things that she mentioned in there was that she, and I wasn't surprised at all, She champions everything that she's done off the court. She wants all the genders, and especially girls in that, to have a feeling that they're in the level playing field in that. And do you think that the reason that we don't have a woman in professional hockey or baseball or something like that is because they haven't had a level playing field or the opportunity, or because maybe they're just not quite good enough again? I mean, in tennis, yes, there's mixed doubles in that, but even the greatest female tennis player of all time, Serena Williams, she's not going to play on the men's tour because she wouldn't win.
Well, yeah, and I think we have to look at science, right? Men and women are not the same. They're not made to be the same. And there's a reason why. Now, look, maybe baseball, a woman could play professionally. I don't think that's unrealistic. But we saw Manon Raume, the goalie, years ago. I think she actually played for the Thunder, right?
She played for the Las Vegas Thunder, and I think she even got a
tryout. Was it Tampa Bay
She got a tryout, and I think she might have even played a preseason game with the Tampa Bay Lightning way back in the day. And we've certainly seen ladies. T.C. Martin does the Las Vegas Aces games. Yeah, of course, yeah. You can hear him on ESPN. And we've seen women that have tried out for NBA teams.
Yeah.
They haven't quite made it. So I think the closest thing that we do see to that level playing field, maybe tennis is the thing in mixed doubles, where at least they do compete against each other.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a specialty thing. We're not going to see it in boxing. They won't sanction it. We're not going to see it in any of the fights, MMA and that sort of stuff. I know there was talk of Cyborg years ago fighting a man in that. I don't think that it's necessarily, and I appreciate what she said, and I understand what she's saying, and we see some girls that'll make a boys wrestling team in high school or things like that, but at the major league professional level, there is a difference.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing is, you look at track and field. Right, another example where sometimes you hear, oh, well, a woman could. No, you look at the world record for the women's 100 meter dash. I'm putting this out there. Go look it up. What the women's world record is in the 100 meter dash, and then go back to the Olympics in Rio, and look at how many men would have lost to a woman who ran the world record in the 100 meter dash. It's simple science. Women are not as fast as men. They're not built like men. And look, I never thought that I would be a fan of the WNBA. Never. Because I was ignorant. And when it came here, I gave it a chance, and I walked away saying, you know what? It's not the NBA. It's not college basketball, but it's entertaining. The women absolutely can play.
And fundamentals. They do the fundamentals and they do the things. They're students of the game. It's improved a lot from years ago when some of the earlier professional leagues came around, and I understand that. And so, and again, we're not saying anything negative against women.
No, we're just.
I love women's tennis, but there's a reason that Serena's not going to be on the men's tour. First off, the pay is equal anyhow, so
yeah. Why
would you go and get knocked out in the first or second round when you're going to win the tournament? But there is a certain thing to it. Do you think there's a sport out there that you could incorporate it? Obviously, something like, yes, if you want to consider poker a sport, and Daniel Negreanu and people like that are friends of the station and the show, yes, they can compete in those levels. In pool, I know sometimes the Black Widow and other people
in
that,
pool,
they haven't necessarily done it. In bowling, you could say that they do, but we haven't really seen it. I know you're a big soccer fan. Nobody's better than Team USA, but could you see any of those women, even an Abby Wambach or some of the superstars in the league, ever competing at a men's level, even in the MLS?
No, I can't. However, I think there are some sports. Maybe they're minor sports here in the States, but I think in other parts of the world they are. I could see women competing in like the luge, right? Or women obviously figure skating, right? They do different things, and they have the pairs in the Olympics in figure skating. But I think any sport where size and speed matter, I don't think it's possible. I mean, I think where there's more skill involved, like poker and like you mentioned, billiards and maybe darts and things like that. Yeah, I could definitely see women winning those tournaments. But women can't play rugby against men. They can't, as you mentioned, box, or they can't get in the octagon. And, you know, why would they want to? That's the other thing. Like, if you're a man, why do you take that fight? Like, if Cyborg challenges a UFC, a men's UFC fighter, or even a low level, not even a UFC guy, to a fight, if you're the guy, Why do you want to take that? A, what do you have to prove? And B, why? Why would you hit a woman, regardless of if it's a fight or not?
The only reason I could see taking that fight is because you want to get your name out there and make some money.
And you're a bum.
I'm not arguing that, but we just talked about a fighter right now that's very controversial in MMA. So some people will do something to put their name on the docket.
That guy, love or hate him, he's not a bum.
There is one other sport where women have competed against men, and they've done very well in. And I was kind of saving that for this last thing here, in horse racing. Female jockeys have been sensational. There have been some incredible female jockeys.
And Julie Crone comes to mind right away.
Yes, exactly. Julie Crone, maybe the greatest of all time. So it's not that it's impossible, but, and again, Billie Jean King, it was an honor for me to interview her. I've watched her career. What she's done off the court and for communities and everything else is incredible. But I found that interesting when she said she wants every little girl, every gender, to be able to wake up and have that dream that they can do something.
They absolutely can, and
should. But you also have to have the reality of it, too. Of it's like, could it happen someday in some sport? Yes, but right now, I don't think it's necessarily lack of opportunity. It's just men are bigger and stronger. Yeah, and there's a lot of sports that you wouldn't want to see a woman. There's a professional tackle football league. You wouldn't want to see a woman play in the NFL.
No, definitely. I mean, look, now maybe as a kicker.
Maybe.
Maybe as a place kicker, right? But is she going to get out there and try to tackle a guy as he's running past her for a touchdown on a kickoff? I mean, if she's punting, is she going to be willing to get blocked and hit when the guys come in to try to block the kick? You know, there's so many aspects.
She might throw a pass better than Garrow, your premium, though. So
that's true.
There could be an advantage.
Poor Garrow. He'll forever be the butt of. Now, how old was Bobby Riggs when they had that match? Because it wasn't like Bobby Riggs was in his prime.
No. He was like in his 50s or something like that.
And Billie Jean King was actually in her prime.
No, she was in her prime. And that's the other thing, too. So it's nothing against women whatsoever. I love women's sports. I love watching the women's sports and that kind of stuff. And I thank Billie Jean King from the bottom of my heart for the interview. But it's not necessarily just because they haven't had the opportunity. There's some other factors in it as well. And if a woman does make a pro sport, we'll see what happens when we get there.
I don't think there's any reason why a woman couldn't play goalie in the NHL. I mean, if she's good enough, she'll have the opportunity.
Yeah. So just watch out for some of those teams out there because there's some nasty players on the ice, especially if you're playing those baby sharks. All right, we're going to come back, wrap it up. TC Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio. Wrapping it up, TC Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio. Don't forget, the Aces tonight over at T-Mobile Arena, wrapping up the Earthquake game, down 51-36. They need a big comeback in the second half. TC will be back tomorrow. And real quick, want to make a note, in tennis, since we talked a little bit of that, Nick Kyrgios wins a tournament, the City Open in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. He beats Medvedev in the final, beats Tsitsipas in the semifinal. He says he's growing up and he's going to change his ways. We'll see if that remains to be done or not, because this guy has as much or more talent than anybody on the planet. But as Rafael Nadal said about him, he doesn't respect the game, he doesn't respect his opponent, he doesn't respect the fans, and he doesn't respect himself. If he ever puts it together, this guy will be a Grand Slam champion for sure. That's going to do it for us. TC's back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. TC Martin Show. I'm Frank Harnish, along with Chris Magnum Chapman in the hot seat. Stay tuned. JT the Brick is up next on Fox Sports Radio.